The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, here to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. In the episode on learning disorders, I gave an overview of a learning disorder and what they are and what they aren't, the signs and symptoms, and recommendations on how to support or advocate for your girl. As a follow-up, I wanted to dive deeper into three learning disorders, also known as LDs. The three are dyslexia, dyscalculia, and nonverbal learning disorder. I'll give insight into what people grapple with while trying to learn academically and how, in some instances, it may affect them socially. Of the three learning disabilities, dyslexia is the one most people know or have heard about. According to the Child Mind Institute, dyslexia is a neurological learning disorder that causes difficulty with reading, writing, and spelling. It causes difficulty in decoding new words or breaking them down into bite-sized pieces to sound out. People with dyslexia struggle with components that make up reading, like phonemic awareness or speech sounds, or phonological processing, which is difficulty in recognizing and breaking down the sounds of letters or segment words into syllables. Another area of difficulty is rhyming and recognition of sight words, such as the, and it. This affects fluency, accuracy, and comprehension. Other challenges include cursive writing, learning foreign languages, and using rote memory. That would be what we use to learn phone numbers, addresses, etc. AttitudeMag.com lists common symptoms of dyslexia, which include slow or distorted phonological processing, reading or writing letters or words out of order or poor spelling, reading slowly or with frequent pauses, difficulty sounding out unknown words, misuse or total disregard of punctuation, difficulty mastering correct spelling or age-appropriate vocabulary, trouble with handwriting, difficulty recalling known words, and delayed speech development. Dyslexia is not considered a mental illness or an intellectual or developmental disorder. It is a neurological problem that typically stems from differences in the way the brain processes language. The best way to treat dyslexia is through the use of accommodations and interventions. I mentioned them in the episode on learning disorders or disabilities. If you haven't listened to that one, you might want to check it out. As I researched for this episode, I found a list of well-known people who have been diagnosed with dyslexia. Academy Award-nominated actress and producer Selma Hayek, Richard Engel, journalist, author, NBC News chief foreign correspondent, and recipient of the Medill Medal for Courage in Journalism. He's fluent in four languages. Actress, writer, producer Whoopi Goldberg, who is one of only 10 people to win an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award. Business investor and billionaire Charles Schwab. Former NFL player Tim Tebow. And interestingly enough, his father and brother are also dyslexic. And lastly, designer Tommy Hilfiger. Just wanted to share that to let you know that it is something that you can still overcome in some areas and have a successful life. Well, we talked about dyslexia, which is commonly known. However, we're going to talk about dyscalculia, and that is far less studied and the less known of neurological development or math-based disorder. People with this learning disorder experience difficulty with number sense, fact and calculation, and mathematical reasoning. Dyscalculia can cause math anxiety. And the symptoms include difficulties with processing numbers and quantities, including connecting a number to the quantity it represents, counting backward and forward, and comparing two amounts. Trouble with subitizing, recognize quantities without counting. Trouble recalling basic math facts like multiplication tables, difficulty linking numbers and symbols to amounts, trouble with mental math and problem solving, difficulty making sense of money and estimating quantities, difficulty with telling time on an analog clock, poor visual and spatial orientation, difficulty in immediately sorting out direction, right from left, troubles with recognizing patterns and sequencing numbers. You can find this list and more articles on attitudemag.com. That's ADDITUEMAG.com. The link will be in the show notes. Getting a proper diagnosis is key, and again, the best way to treat dyscalculia is the use of accommodations and interventions. I have to tell you, on a personal note, I struggled with math, and I still do in some instances. So when I read about this, I immediately knew, hey, this is me. The diagnosis was not around when I was a child in school, and so I just had to do what I could to get through it. And since I've read about this, I've met other people who believe that they have the symptoms of dyscalculia too. Well, one thing about learning disorders is if you're not diagnosed young or early, it doesn't go away, first of all. You don't grow out of it. And a person will overcompensate or adapt by making her own rules as a way to solve the problem. This is what I've done most of my life. I was a good student in every area but math. I overcompensated in other subjects so I could keep a higher GPA. It's been my experience that people assume if a person struggles in one subject, it's a representation of his or her mental abilities overall. I can attest that's not true. I was and still am a voracious reader. I am curious about the world around me. I enjoy research and gathering information to expand my way of thinking. I enjoy writing and storytelling. If you have a child who struggles in math or reading, hone in on whatever areas of strengths you observe and build up that skill set. It'll help build confidence and make them less self-conscious about their areas of weakness. But as you know, God uses us, he uses a thorn in our flesh and, for his glory. And 2 Corinthians, 12, 7 through 10, it talks about how his grace is sufficient in our weakness. He is strong. Well, so far we've talked about dyslexia, dyscalculia, and now I'd like to talk about nonverbal learning disorder, also known as NLD or NVLD, which I will be referring to it that way throughout the rest of the discussion about it. NVLD. Did you know approximately 93% of communication is nonverbal? This includes body language, facial expressions, and tone of voice. Those with NVLD have trouble interpreting nonverbal language. They rely on the remaining 7% of communication to understand or interpret what a person means. That's missing quite a bit of the conversation. A child with NVLD will have a large vocabulary and outstanding memory and also auditory retention. I hadn't heard about NVLD, nonverbal learning disorder, until my daughter was diagnosed with it at age 16 or 17. And that's because it's the most overlooked and misunderstood learning disability. The NVLD Project states, people with this learning disorder may struggle with the following. Fine motor skills, like using scissors, tying shoelaces, or pencil grip. Gross motor skills, like throwing a ball, riding a bike. Spatial awareness, bumping into people and things. Organization and planning, activities that require multitasking, staying focused, recalling visual information. And this is the one I started noticing in my daughter in middle school, and it was peer relationships, reading social cues, and interpreting social interactions. Also, another is handling and understanding new situations. And also, the way they interpret nonverbal facial expressions, posture, tone of voice. I also noticed that in my daughter. Understanding idioms, humor, and sarcasm. Although I have to say my girl, she understands those pretty well. Reading comprehension, essay writing, understanding charts and diagrams like maps and graphs. And then math skills, understanding fractions, geometric shapes, and word problems. When my daughter was she was around 2 or 3. So when Savannah was 2 or 3, people remarked on how well she spoke for her age and how well she could hold conversations with adults. At the time, I didn't know, but it was because she retained words well and in a literal sense. As she moved into middle school and high school, the skill wasn't as impressive. There were many friendship and social issues that caused her great anxiety. Once again, getting a proper diagnosis is important, and nonverbal learning disorder can be present or present itself as anxiety, and that's usually caused by difficult social interactions. And also, a lot of times they're diagnosed with ADHD because there are similar symptoms. The best way to treat nonverbal learning disorder is through social emotional learning. And this would be reading body language, tone of voice, etc. Executive function training to develop deficient processing skills, and physical or occupational therapy. Now, although my Savannah is in college now, it's still a work in progress. And as we all are, she's just a bit more aware of the work that she has to do. And one thing I can say about her is when she starts getting friendships, starts getting closer to people in her friendships, she will tell them, I have nonverbal learning disorder. She will tell them what it is. And she will ask them to hold her accountable if she starts to display. So she will know and be able to recognize when it's happening. Well, check out the show notes to learn more about dyslexia, dyscalculia, and nonverbal learning disorder. I really hope gaining an understanding of learning disability, that it provides insight into how others learn, their struggles, and their ability to triumph in spite of them. I also pray for compassion and empathy, and that they are more freely offered when encountering others, as everyone is fighting their own battle. For those who are with me as a mom of a child with learning disorders, or if you have one yourself, remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Hey, Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kainos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.